We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the Dynasty Command Center podcast on RotoViz Radio. It's Curtis Patrick. Some call me the Dynasty Commander. I'm joined by Dave Caven, and we're going to talk about how to evaluate your Dynasty teams mid-season and how to plan the right moves. You know, a couple weeks ago, for those of you reading my weekly series on RotoViz.com, I broke down scenarios for, you know, what types of trades you should be offering or entertaining. That was after 4 weeks. You know, I had plans laid out for the 4-0 teams, the 3-1 teams, the 2-2 teams, the 1-3, and the 0-4. And I mean, it was pretty clean at that point. Basically, it boiled down to if you're 0-4 in almost every scenario, you're done. And then I had all these different layers of context for why you should maybe do what I was suggesting that you should do with other records. But now, you know, hey, we're entering week 7. We're 6 weeks in. We're more than 40% through the Dynasty regular season in most leagues. And Dave, I've been playing Dynasty fantasy football for over 25 seasons now. And I can promise, man, it just flies. It flies every year just a little bit faster. And if you just get lazy for 2 or 3 weeks, you miss your windows. I mean, if you got a team that's in the middle and you don't make the effort to get to the top or sink to the bottom, I mean, you're going to be stuck right there again. And so this is a time of the dynasty season where you have to really be focused and you have to be intentional with each squad. And so this week's article titled How to Evaluate Dynasty Teams During the Season and Plan the Right Moves is all about that. And I used one of my teams over on FFPC on their platform. It's a higher stakes dynasty squad, a couple $100 buy-in. You know, it's one... You know, these are the leagues where, you know, hey, you can win $1,300 if you win the title. I mean, you want to be on your game. And it's not just for pride at that point. It's like, you know, hey, that's a pretty nice payday, especially when you're doing that across a portfolio of dynasty teams. So here's how we're going to lay this out, Dave. And I'm going to toss some things to you to get your feedback and see, you know, hey, would you do it the way that I'm doing it? Or do you see it differently? What we're going to start with is just a couple principles for how to approach evaluating your dynasty team. And the first one midseason is you got to know your rules. So the league that I'm talking about, it's a 12-team dynasty league and 6 teams make the playoffs and we're 6 weeks in. So you can actually click on the playoffs tab, see who would be in, see what the seeding looks like. And, you know, in this league, I happen to be 6-0 and I'm pretty far clear on points scored. And so I kind of know what I'm going to do, but I also want to know what all the other managers might do, because that's going to help me understand what types of trades I should make and maybe eliminate some teams that I shouldn't even waste my time with if they're going to be my direct competitors. But when you look at like the 5 and 6 seeds, let's say I was one of those teams. You know, I'm looking here at a 4-2 non-seeded team and a 3-3 seeded team. Well, that's because in the FFPC, there are 3 divisions in each dynasty league, and if you're in first place in your division, you're in the playoffs. It doesn't matter if those wild card teams are 3 games better. And so that's just one of those things where, you know, if you're just quickly, if you play 10, 15 leagues and you're quickly scrolling through, you know, your portfolio and you see your good record, well, I mean, if you're on the outside looking in, I mean, that's got to matter for your context. Or maybe you have a poor record and poor points scored. You know, Boats and Hose is this six-seeded team here in this league. Yeah, with a great name. What a great name. But he's 3-3.
Catalina Wine Mixer.
Yeah, Catalina Wine Mixer, baby. he's 3-3, but, you know, he's not very clear, obviously, of the teams behind him. So just because he's in the playoffs, he shouldn't feel overly confident about his position, and he's going to need to fortify that if he wants to hang on to that. So with all of that kind of stuff in mind about knowing the rules, let's veer into evaluating the teams. And there's three buckets, Dave, that we're going to evaluate: the contenders, the pretenders, and the rebuilders. And I think that you will have the most success in your leagues year after year after year if you can just take the time twice during the season. And one of those times is this week after 6 weeks, and the other time is going to be after 10 weeks. Look at your league and separate the teams into contenders, pretenders, and rebuilders. And I actually give you a framework for, you know, how I actually designate those definitions rather. And you can put your own definitions in there. But if you do this exercise, you will streamline your ability to manage your roster, make the right types of waiver claims, and make the right types of trades for your team. So contenders, Dave, I'm going to define them, and I'm going to see what you think about these definitions, if you would add anything to it,
yep,
or if you think they're reasonable. So a contender is already in playoff position or only one win away from qualifying. A contender is in the top half of the league in points, even if not in playoff position. And, you know, this helps to solve for some potential early season bad luck with matchups. You know, maybe you played a really tough schedule.
Yep.
Or maybe the team is two wins away from playoff position after 6 weeks, but was missing at least one injured star that is now back and playing this week. Okay, so this is not Justin Jefferson that you're getting back, maybe if, when, whatever. But maybe you started, you know, 0-3, but now, you know, you're 0-4 even, but you've won your last two since Cooper Kupp came back, and now you're also getting Jonathan Taylor. You know, that your team's different than when it was performing poorly. So that's how I'm identifying this contender group. You're either already in the playoffs, you're in the top half of the league in points, or you could be one or two wins away from the playoffs, but you've got important lineup context. Is there any other thing that you would think would help to define a contender just 6 weeks into the season?
No, I think you hit all of the points that I was thinking about there. I guess the only other possible thing would be a team that has maybe like four of the top, like, dynasty, you know, top 25 dynasty assets, but for whatever reason, the team like just hasn't worked out through those first 6 weeks. But maybe the team sees themselves as a contender, but they might really not be. So no, I think that I don't have too much to add to that framework.
All right. So if we can agree on how to define a contender, here's the guidance that I've got for these teams. And this is the guidance I'd be giving to myself then in this league, because I'm a contender at 6-0. Okay, so the first thing, you got to stay ahead by trying to improve your weakest starting lineup position or adding high-end flexes to protect against injuries. So just because you're out there, I mean, the season's brutal, Dave. I mean, we've got these bye weeks coming up. You know, this is one of them. And the injuries, they just really seem like they're more bountiful than ever. Or maybe it's just that, you know, because we're so in tune with fantasy at this point that we just notice all of them, and more of the injuries matter. But you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, you can be 6-0, and I mean, then you lose Christian McCaffrey for a month, and you might not be sick. You know, you might be 6-4 at the end of that month. So you still got to try to improve your team, and you shouldn't sit back. And some of the notes that I have underneath staying ahead by improving your weakest starting lineup position are these. It's okay to trade away your 2024 first round pick to accomplish this, because at this point you can feel pretty confident you're going to have an end of round pick. All right. So, I mean, you're not treating that as a random 2024 first anymore. You're treating that as a late 2024 first. You're 5-1, 6-0, whatever. I also think that contenders, you've got to be thoughtful and offer fair and appealing trades with your first offer.
Yeah.
Because your league mates are going to be very annoyed by your success early in the season, right? They're looking at, they get this offer from you. I mean, this is what I do. I get an offer in my end basket. I click on the league home, and the first thing I do is I try to figure out why this trade was even offered to me. Where's this guy in the standings? I mean, you're sending out trade offers as a 6-0 and 5-1 team, and you're not making that offer appealing for the other guy. I mean, they're going to just tell you to kick rocks, and you might not be able to get much engagement after that. So you may need to offer some trades from a dynasty perspective, maybe even where you're taking a little bit of a loss, because you need to make that really obviously appealing to your potential trade partner if they're going to be willing to help you win the title. So any thoughts on that, Dave?
I think that that is a very, very good point there. And I think that the more dynasty that I play, the more it just really underscores for me, especially as people start to get busy and now people have a lot of different dynasty teams and stuff. It's just very frustrating when you get garbage coming through. There should be a clear reason. None of this, oh, get the conversation started. It's kind of like, no, like, you know, like if I'm taking the time to go out somewhere, you know, and buy something, I'm going to toss my best offer, right? So if you're coming towards me, I want your best offer as well. You know, I don't want to play a game back and forth. There should be a clear reason why we're doing this trade. And I think you also have to think about the context of the other manager. And that, you know, if they're going to make a move, their team's in a bad position, incentivize them to do it. So there is something to be said about making a trade that some people might think you didn't win, but it makes your team better overall and, you know, has some type of purpose for you and the other owner.
And I think this is generally good guidance for all trades that anyone might offer any time of the year, but it's just especially important to just have some emotional intelligence about the situation. I mean, nobody wants to help the front runner, but some people will help the front runner if it also helps themselves. Yeah. A couple other points for contenders at this point of the season. Don't lose sight of the importance of winning when you can win. Tomorrow is not promised, and you could lose. I mean, I had teams after a week or even before week one that I was like, there is no way that this team will. I mean, I had a team that was, you know, Nick Chubb, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson. I mean, just the way that those balls have bounced, like that doesn't mean jack, you know, and as players get older, I mean, you may not be able to run it back. So if you're sitting out there as a front runner right now, your contender right now, I'm really hammering home that you need to have an edge about it to make sure you get it done this year. You've got to win that purse. You've got to get that title. That's the whole reason you play. You don't play to put the pretty baseball cards in the album. You play to get the, you know, you play to get the championship. It's not about the how pretty your roster looks. It's about actually winning the title. So this might be your year. And you've got to keep an opportunistic mindset. And then this is a little bit more practical. So for people that are playing in some of the old school FFPC dynasty leagues, or even maybe some old school MFL leagues that still use kickers or defenses, there's a little bit of a redraft thing here. Start looking multiple weeks ahead for the favorable matchups and start stockpiling those onesie positions. Don't let your opponents gain ground on you by getting those patsy defense matchups, especially. And if your team's really good, I mean, you know, especially if it's a deeper league, you could probably make room for some of those kickers and defenses. All right. So that's my guidance on contenders. You want to hear the pretenders?
I would love to hear the pretenders. And I also really appreciate the point that you just made. Anybody that's listened to me talk for a while knows that you know, doing that with the defenses I love. So let's go ahead.
I was thinking about you when I put that bullet in. Okay. So that's the contenders. Now the pretenders is tricky, man. So pretenders are in playoff position. This is one definition. You could be in playoff position, but you're bottom half in points. So maybe you've run pure on your, it's the opposite of that outsider looking in the contender bucket. Maybe you've had the favorable schedule to date. Or a pretender might be only one win out of playoff position. And winning his or her division, but would not be in wild card position on victory points. So you would basically not win any tiebreakers and you wouldn't be in by the wild card. You're only getting in because you're in a weak division. You might be a pretender. You can't rest back. A pretender might also have injured stars with no clear timetable for return and weak replacement players. So you've got a near term, significantly lower weekly points ceiling. So you're expecting to probably lose some games in the next month, and there's not much you can do about it if you just trot out the guys you got. Anything else you would add to a pretender definition?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I think the only other thing I would add is maybe there's some teams where just the confluence of events has just conspired to give that team a really hot start. But if you look at the players, you know that across the rest of the season, you know they're at their peak and it's not going to happen. There's a couple of who was that wide receiver for the Eagles a couple of years ago who like the first 4 weeks was scoring a million points, but nobody had ever heard of him and they weren't going to hear about him after. Like it just kind of happened. It might have propelled some teams up. I forget.
Travis Fulgham,
right. You know, sometimes you could get a mixture of players like that that gets you, you know, your team looking good early on, but you know it's not sustainable.
Well, that's a really cool point because the sub point that I had under this was identifying pretenders may also require individual roster review.
Oh, so, there you go.
That one's out there and you came up with it on your own, bud.
Yep.
Okay, so pretender guidance. This is where it gets tricky and you have to be willing to you've got to try to force yourself to a point of conviction and do some risk stratification here. So the first point is, you know, this is an emotional intelligence point here. It can be tough to call your team a pretender, but we've got to call spades spades if you don't want to miss out on opportunities for trades before those windows start closing.
I like that. For example,
it did. I was proud of that. I think Blair liked it when I sent that in. Moving high-performing veterans that are propping up your squad if the rest of the team is underperforming. So to your point, and this is one of those individual roster reviews, this might be a type of pretender. A team is winning on narrow margins each week, but only because of Tyreek Hill. The rest of the starting lineup is unremarkable. There's no reason to expect a squad like this to make major leaps in 2024 because of the relative weakness of the roster. It definitely makes sense to move Hill at his peak for a premium in this type of scenario. So this is a situation where this pretender, let's just, as much as it hurts, man, you just move off of that stud to one of the contenders and, you know, you take some future first or, you know, take some of their maybe they got a young starter that hasn't totally emerged and they got like a Drake London or something. You get like Drake London and a first for Tyreek Hill. I'm just throwing stuff out there. This is a type of mentality you start shifting into because you would just have to run so unbelievably pure to actually make it work. Now, other guidance for pretenders. Be aggressive on the waiver wire every week and find new opportunities to improve your squad, but also for potential claim and flip opportunities to improve your draft position next year. So, for example, you know, this week, Zach Evans, Jordan Mason, like in FFPC leagues, these guys aren't universally owned. So you go out, you win that trendy player, you package that player with the fourth round pick, and then you get a third round pick back. You know, you're not trying to like claim the player and just get a straight draft pick for him.
Yep.
That's going to annoy people.
Yep.
That's going to annoy people. But just upgrading a pick, all right, well, maybe they need the starter. They'll do that.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to quickly say the one thing that is important there is if you're doing these moves, you actually then have to follow through with the piece of trading. Because what I've seen some people do is they step into a player at the right time. They have a couple of good games. Then they hold on too long and they end up rostering that player forever when they should have just stuck to the plan and flipped that guy, which I think could be a trap. Yeah.
That's a good, that's a good additional point there. The last point I've got for pretenders in terms of guidance, it's okay to make a grand move to shift yourself into contender status. Just don't do it at the cost of your team's long-term outlook. So what I wouldn't want a pretender to do is give up tons of future draft capital. You just can't do that. But if you wanted to, if you're a team that doesn't have a lot of high-end players, but you've got like a lot of wide receiver twos and threes, and you know, you're like deep at tight end or something, if you want to package some players and make some really kind of like attractive two or three for one type situations, just to maybe if I just could keep a healthy starting lineup with just that one other stud, and actually you go and trade for a player like Tyreek Hill to another pretender. I mean, you can do that type of stuff, but if your team is on this razor thin edge, you can't go give up the future draft picks. Cause if things go wrong over the next month, I mean, you might've traded away, you know, a top three pick or a top four pick, and you just can't recover from that type of stuff. If you're going to be in that position, you need to be able to, you know, reap the benefits from it. All right. Rebuilders, Dave, this one's a little easier to define, but the guidance is important. So rebuilders, hey, we're 6 weeks in. These teams are at least two wins out of playoff position, and there are no weird or extreme team situations. That's basically it. I mean, you don't have any players that are coming back from injury that are going to really give your team a shot in the arm. I mean, if you're two wins out of playoff position at this point, I mean, you're probably low in points. You already have your A-plus lineup out there for you. I mean, it's not realistic to think you're going to be three games better than the last wild card team over, you know, the next 8 weeks of the season, unless you're going to go make some really crazy trades. So like the only time I would say a rebuilder could really get aggressive is maybe you've been a multi-year rebuilder and now you've got like, you know, five or six future firsts or something like that. Okay. Well, if you wanted to get crazy, I guess you have the stockpile to do that, but really this is pretty simple. If you look at your roster and you're just like, dude, there's no way in hell that I'm winning this year, you're a rebuilder. I mean, you're a rebuilder. The pretending group is the group where it's like, man, I had like all these trendy players. Like, what if they break out? No, if you're a rebuilder, you know.
I think, yeah, I was going to say, you know when you're a
rebuilder. You know it. So here's the guidance for a rebuilder, right? You got to try to accumulate other teams' first round picks, package any veterans that you have with your own second round picks. And I've got a parenthetical note here. You're probably lacking any veterans worth a straight up first, or you wouldn't be in rebuilder status in the first place. Trade for injured players. I really love this one. This further will damage your team this year, which will improve your draft stock for 2024, because you're trading for these injured players that you're not going to be able to play. But you're also then giving your team asymmetric upside potential in 2024. Like your team will be better next year when that injured player returns. Even if you don't ever use that player will regain value. So examples of types of trades maybe you could make as a rebuilder if you know these situations are doable for your roster. So a contender or a pretender who just lost Anthony Richardson for the season in Superflex might be willing to trade him to you for a package that includes like Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are not going to help you in the long run. If you're a rebuilder, Anthony Richardson could. You're going to have to add something to Goff or Cousins, but you otherwise wouldn't have been able to trade for a guy like Richardson. So you take advantage of that situation. Or, you know, maybe a contender with a mostly old team, like a team that's, hey, they're a contender, they're 5-1, they're 6-0, but they've got Kelsey and Kupp and McCaffrey and Kamara. They've got all the old guys. You know, they're playing the greatest hits. Derrick Henry. Okay, well, maybe that team just lost Justin Jefferson. Okay, maybe they'd be willing to get even older and take Tyreek Hill or Cooper Kupp off your hands. Okay, that makes sense for both you guys. You want to get rid of the aged wide receiver who is dominating this year, and you would be fine to take on Justin Jefferson because you don't care if you get the points. You're still going to have to add something there. But these are the types of situations where you might be able to go get an injured player, as long as it's very clear why and how this is going to help that contender stay in contending status. So once you've done this, you know, I know that took 10 minutes to listen to, but once you've done that, if you weren't taking notes and you want to see this laid out, it's in my article on the site. Now, you're able to, and it just, the math worked out nicely in this league that I'm in. It won't always be this clean, but I actually separated my league into four contenders, four pretenders, and four rebuilders. It may not always be that way. That's how it ended up here. Now, this is probably the most important part of the episode. All right. Who can trade with who? Once you make those designations and you draw those lines in your league, this is what you got to think about. Contenders will probably only be able to make trades with rebuilders or maybe with a smart pretender. And a smart pretender is a pretender that actually knows they're a pretender. And remember what I said about being a pretender. It's hard to admit you're a pretender. Well, a team that's admitting that they're a pretender is going to actually act like a rebuilder. So, you know, those teams would maybe trade with a contender. Other contenders aren't going to trade with you. They're not going to want to hurt their own chances. However, Dave, it's possible that a team that I categorize as a contender might actually self-categorize as a pretender. Maybe they're like, how'd I get this lucky? Like, I don't think this is going to happen. I'm looking at these other solid squads. It ain't me. I don't think that you offer other contenders trades if you're a contender. I think you allow those contenders that are actually pretenders to self-identify by coaxing them out with trade block offers. Because if you make an offer to another contender, they're like, no, I'm not going to help this guy. But if you allow them to identify, oh, here's these players from, you know, here's these players that I'm interested in, and now I'm interested in the player, and I'm thinking about the player before I'm thinking about what team I have to trade with to get the player, that might be a way to get some action if you're a contender with another contender. But, you know, really the rule here is if you're a contender, you need to be looking at the rebuilders in your league. I mean, that's the natural pairing. Now, pretenders, this is where it's fun. Pretenders can probably trade with anyone. If pretenders make offers to unload veterans to the contenders, it will become apparent they want to shift to a rebuild status. If they make offers to acquire veterans, it'll become apparent to the rebuilders or other pretenders they're trying to trade with that they're trying to shift to a contending status. So you can try to figure out either one of those directions, what type of trade they're going to accept. This process, once it plays out, really should shift the teams out of pretending status and into either contending or rebuilding status. You've heard other dynasty talking heads over the years say, like, you know, the middle is the worst place to be. Like in dynasty, you don't want to be in the middle. And, you know, if you're playing in like high stakes, you're playing in competitive leagues on FFPC, none of those teams want to be in the middle either. And so I mentioned earlier in the episode, Dave, between week 6 and 10, I mean, week 10 is going to be that next check-in where we're going to do this. Over the next 4 weeks, I would expect most savvy dynasty managers to get out of the middle. Mm-hmm. So their rosters shouldn't look like they look like today. At one of these weeks in the next 4 weeks, is the light bulb is going to go on. And they're going to say, I've got a chance or I don't have a chance. And you start making those moves. Now, to wrap this up, rebuilders can probably make trades easily with contenders and pretenders who want to become contenders. So I play Settlers of Catan. I play it all the time. It's like one of our favorite family games. And that's what I think of when I'm thinking about this. Like, you know, it could be that board. It could be any other board game where it's like strategic or maybe even any, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of other situations where it's like, nobody wants to trade with the front runner unless it's obvious. Cause I mean, not only are you helping them win, you're probably hurting other people's chances. And then you get the eye rolls and, you know, it's going to affect the league if you make it like an unbalanced trade with them. All of this trade activity that could really happen over the next month, the most exciting trade activity is going to be between pretenders and rebuilders who know what the heck they're doing. And so, you know, hopefully just kind of hearing me talk through this gets you juiced up about making some trade offers and just trying to identify what type of team that you have. Dave, listening through this.
Yes.
is there any like number one takeaway that you have that you would take and apply to any of your dynasty teams after we sign off?
I think the thing that stood out to me is that though this is something that seems simple, you know, just looking at your team and saying, oh, like, where do I land in this league? What's actually important is having some type of framework in which there's guidance to follow that you actually carry through and, you know, that you use to make some actionable moves after you listen to it. So to me, I think the main point is really just the fact that this kind of energized me to go back, review my teams, solidify where I am, and then follow down that course of action. Just underscoring that sometimes there's these simple concepts, but like unless you fully think it through, you don't realize how much meat there actually is on that bone. Where here, there's a lot to it, and then a lot of different places to go off of there. So I actually think that there's a lot of key follow-up questions that we won't have time for now, but you know, there are things that we'll definitely come back to. You may have seen me. I was jotting down some notes of questions that I thought people might have as you were talking. So we will come back to those, you know, in the future.
All right. That sounds great. You know, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode of the DCC. We'll be back next week. We'll get into some player takes. I want to do a mid-season check-in next week, Dave, on some of the best stories of the dynasty season, maybe talk a little crystal ball where these guys are going to go in ADP and startup drafts next year. And probably 2 weeks from now, we're going to do a Devy drop in. We got to check in on some of the best prospects in college football because Dave, we're going to blank. We're going to be doing another rookie guide.
Dude, I can't, I cannot wait to start talking about some of these guys. I've been watching a lot of college football this season. And I can't wait to talk also about Keon Coleman. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that one, you know, among others, there's a lot of good guys this year to talk about.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of the DCC. We'll be back next week.